I'm gonna see. that lay between us. I had a mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Morning and to welcome you to worship at Asbury United Methodist Church. My name is Stevie Roberts. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. My colleague, Reverend Nick Shimmer, will be delivering our message a little later on this morning. As we gather together today, we do pray that you will be touched by the power of the Holy Spirit and that this time of worship will make a difference in your life. as we strive in the name of Jesus Christ to make a difference in all people's lives through the ministries and the mission of Asbury United Methodist Church. So let us worship God, and may God bless us all. you join me now in a time of prayer? Loving God, whose last word is always a word of life, we give you thanks this day and praise you with Easter shouts of hallelujah. We also, O God, in all honesty, come before you with sighs too deep for words. Our lives are upside down. Children need to be taught lessons. Parents need to work. Grandparents are lonely for families. And there are so many isolated in their homes alone. Our church family longs to see one another, to shake hands, to give a hug, to laugh together in person in the way that only true fellowship can happen. And yet here we are, in the face of a virus that seems to know no end. But you, O God, are powerful over viruses. You, O God, are powerful over all illness. You, O God, will have the last word, and it will be a word of life. So in the powerful name of Jesus today, we come before you and ask you, we pray against this virus. We ask you to push it back from our lives by helping scientists find vaccines and helping doctors and nurses find the right medications at the right time, helping us to have enough tests, and blessing all those who are on the front lines giving care. We pray for those who are ill. We pray for their families separated from them and unable to care for them. Catch all of them up in your loving arms and give them peace. And Lord, today we are mindful of so many who are hungry and uncertain about their futures. We pray for those who are out of work. We pray for children out of school and struggling, not being able to see their friends, and never having been able to say goodbye to that beloved teacher. Lord, comfort them. And help us to provide by our ministries a word of grace and a safe place to land, where they can know encouragement and know peace and hope that comes only to us on its way to someone else. Today, we pray for those who are lost, family members and friends who do not know your powerful name and the way that your love can transform their lives. And we lift them by name to you now. We also pray, O God, for those who have no one else to pray for them. And continue to ask that you shape the Asbury family into a community of faith that can welcome them here. Help them find their way. And above all else, help them to rediscover their name, that they are beloved, that they are children of God. All of this we pray in the powerful name of Jesus, even as we say the prayer he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Friends, it's a blessing to be with you today on this second Sunday of Easter, or what is also known in the church world as Associate Pastor Sunday. I'm Nick Schimmer, and it's a blessing to bring the message today. Last week was a different Easter for us, but it was also a joyous Easter. I was in worship with all of you, even though it was virtually, and it was just a wonderful time of music and of message and of prayer. One of the other things I enjoyed about Easter last week was seeing how much all of you just sort of did Easter in your own way. I noticed on social media so many of you got dressed up in your Easter outfits. The beautiful bright pastels, the sharp looking suits were just really great to see. And then also the food spreads were amazing. It was like every page I looked at, the food just got better and better and better. We had brisket ourselves at our house, and it's just a wonderful time of sharing and fellowship in what is our new way of sharing and fellowship. So that was great to see. But here's another part about my Easter Sunday that I want to share with you. And I wonder if any of you felt this way as well. Later on that night, around 8 o'clock, I was sitting on the couch. I had done everything I needed to do for that day, and I was really just hoping for a little bit of time of relaxation. So I was sitting down, getting ready to watch TV and just relax. And within moments of sitting down, my mind started to drift. It started to drift to the world we live in today. Part of that was aided by my phone, which is constantly going off with new news alerts and new updates that tend to be bad news. And as my mind was starting to move that way, I could feel the stress and the anxiety start to move back into my heart. A heart that just a few hours before was so full of joy and so full of love as we gave reverence to our resurrected Savior. But quickly I started thinking about what I needed to do the next day for work, what I needed to do the next day for school, how we were going to attack our children's homeschool, how long was I going to be cooped up in this house, and is tomorrow going to be the day that one of my boys finally throws the other one off the deck because they're just tired of each other? And so all of this stress and all this anxiety quickly consumed me on the same day that we worshiped our risen Lord. At first, I became frustrated with myself for allowing that to happen. But then I took comfort because I realized I'm not the only person that that's ever happened to. And that is where I want us to pick up our gospel story this morning. After the resurrection, on Easter night, with our disciples. So join me in this scripture reading, John chapter 20, verses 19 to 29. I'll be reading out of the New Revised Standard Version. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my fingers in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This is the word of God for the people of God. There is no one that can blame the disciples for the way they felt at that time. Their entire world had been shaken. Their entire understanding had been ripped away in a moment. Think about what they gave up for 3 years. They walked away from their jobs, from their families, from their connections, and from their comfort to follow this prophet, this teacher, this man they had come to know as the Messiah, though it took a long time. And in a moment's notice, it is wiped away. And the man that they believed, the Messiah that they believed would deliver them from captivity, was nailed dead to a piece of wood. See, in the Jewish custom, in the Jewish understanding of the Messiah, they believed that he would come and free them from earthly persecution, from the oppression of Roman rule. Their desires were very earthly, but Jesus's agenda was far different, and he had a very different sort of freedom in mind. So the disciples find themselves where many of us tend to go when our worldview is shaken, when we are moved away from the comfort and normalcy of our lives. We hunker down, we bar the door, and we allow ourselves to sit and stew in our fear. In that room with those disciples, and not all of them were there, we'll get to that in a minute, there was this group of hurt, this group of anger, and this group of opinions that might have been all different, but one thing was the same for all of them. They were stuck in fear. They said the door was locked. In the Greek interpretation of that word, it means locked tight. They didn't just turn a little lock. They had that thing barred and sealed as tight as they could get it. They were worried that the authorities would show up and they would meet the same fate as the man, as the Messiah they had followed. But here's the thing about your fear. And here's the thing about when you try to lock the door, Jesus will find a way in. And so, as you can imagine, to their surprise, despite no possible point of entry, Jesus appears before them. And he doesn't show up to scold them. He doesn't show up to discipline them for their lack of faith, for their fear. No, Jesus comes as he always does when we let him into our life. He comes bearing gifts. And the three gifts he brought to the disciples on this day were the three vital gifts they would need to carry on his ministry in the world. And that is peace, power, and purpose. And I want to look at all three of those this morning. Jesus begins with an opening move that is something we all need to hear at different points in our life. He says, "Peace be with you." There are a lot of things I do in my life that are peaceful. A good book, a walk, relaxing on the back deck. These are things that I will do when I need to unwind, when I just need a moment. But all they are temporary moments of peace. Because the true peace that I need in my life, the peace that is going to calm all of my doubts and all of my fears, can only come from our Savior. So Jesus arrives and he brings peace, and he brings peace into your life too, when you choose to accept it. One of the things that you will find on social media today is no shortage of unqualified medical experts, no shortage of unqualified economists, people that are ready to tell you, in their opinion, what our problems are. And depending on where you sit on certain issues, you can come ready to engage in a way that is angry. But when you turn to Christ, when you turn to Christ through any problem, not just a global pandemic, But the problems that reach you day to day, the stresses and anxieties that reach you when you least expect it, Christ will be there to say, "Peace be with you." And so Jesus brings that. It is the first move. It is the one thing we cannot do, we cannot earn. It is only given through the sacrifice of Christ. Jesus gave the disciples the power. He breathed onto them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." There is some debate theologically on whether or not this story is a parallel story to the one they tell, Luke tells in the beginning of Acts at Pentecost, that this is John's version. But regardless, receiving the Holy Spirit means that when it is breathed into you, God has granted you the power to endure what you're going to face in this life. It is used to embolden you, to strengthen you, to carry you, to lead you and guide you into the mission He calls you to fulfill. And that brings us to our third point, which is the purpose. What now becomes the purpose of the disciples? It's the same purpose for you and I, still today. Jesus says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Jesus has been sent to heal. Jesus has been sent to restore. And now the disciples and you and I are called to fulfill that same commission. Through His peace, through the blessing and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can then spread Christ's love in the darkest of times. You know, one of the things that I've had time to do is think. And that's good and that's bad. But I started thinking a lot about my own salvation and my own lifespan. There are so many that have been afflicted with this pandemic, so many that we've lost, and there's so many that we lose in other ways. I came to the realization that however long we are on this earth, we are simply temporary residents. We are renting space on God's beautiful creation. And one day we will move into an eternal glory that will be more powerful than anything we could ever imagine. And I believe that when we go, we will be restored. Our body will be restored. If you live to be 110 years old, when you get to heaven, your body will be restored to its peak physical condition. But isn't it funny that Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb, in His resurrected form, chose to maintain the holes in His hands and His side? To me, that shows that those wounds, that burden that Jesus is carrying, He is going to carry for all of eternity. Because Jesus didn't just die on the cross for those that existed in that time. It carries through to today. And that's a powerful message to think about as you move through your life. Because we all become victim of our own circumstances. We all let fear creep in. We also let doubt creep in. I'll tell you something that not many pastors would be willing to tell you. I bump up against doubt sometimes myself. I often find that in those moments of doubt is because I have been not as connected with God as I should be. My prayer life isn't as strong. I'm not reading the scripture. Or even if I'm reading the scripture, it's hard not to doubt. How can you not read this book and go, "Who could possibly live like that? How could I possibly fulfill all of the rules? How can I live in this way that is worthy of this Savior who died for us?" And you can't. That's why He died for you. But you have received the power of the Holy Spirit which allows you to grow and to continue to grow, to push fear aside, to push doubt aside. Interesting story about a man named Thomas. And it's not this Thomas, it's a different Thomas. He was a faithful man, but at the end of his life, he really started to let doubt creep in and struggle with his faith. So he opened up his Bible and he went in and cut out every example of miracles and healings that Jesus performed, including the resurrection. He cut it all out. And he changed his Bible, entitled it The Moral Teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. You now know that today as the Jefferson Bible. As Thomas Jefferson grew, he let doubt overtake him to the point where he could no longer see Jesus as the glorious Savior, the Messiah, the God-man that he is. This Thomas in here gets a bit of a bad rap. If you look at just this one moment of lapse in his faith, and he gets a name that sticks for the rest of his life and beyond. We still call him Doubting Thomas today. We still teach it to our children in Sunday school. But when you get a moment, go back in time in your Bible to John chapter 10. And you will see that when Jesus was preparing to go and heal Lazarus, his disciples' reaction was, "Do not go. If we return there, they will kill you." And only one disciple stood up and says, "If we must go and die, then we go and die." That, my friends, was Thomas. And so when Jesus appears to him a week later, today, and Thomas sees him, he doesn't only have his faith restored, he becomes the most faithful. "My Lord, my God," is his response. And I hope that can be all of our response today as we recognize and understand who Christ is and what he has done for us. As I close my message this morning, I want to give you a piece from Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11. A psalm written by David. It is a song of trust and security found only in God. "I keep the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Whatever you're going through right now, whatever trials, whatever is causing you stress, anxiety, fear, don't think about tomorrow. Think about the moment you are in today and know and trust that our Savior is by your side. He took on the burden of your sin that you could not repay out of love for you. So stand strong in your faith. Be the light of Christ to the world. And help fulfill that purpose of the Great Commission that God calls us to fulfill even in a dark day like today. In the name of our Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Heart
from the ashes a new life born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah! Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful?
Hallelujah. What a Savior. We're so glad you joined us for this service of worship this morning at Asbury United Methodist Church, where we strive to make a difference because Christ has made a difference in our lives. Following this service of worship in about 20 minutes, Brother Nick will be leading us in a study of the book of Acts. It will be on Facebook, and if you'll just refresh your coffee and gather into a comfortable spot, he will join you in just a few minutes. Also, next Sunday, we'll be beginning a new series of sermons on the prayers of Jesus. We'll be looking at Jesus' prayers and what they teach us about the heart of God, but even more, how Jesus prays for you and for me. And isn't that a comforting and encouraging thought right now in this time of pandemic? During that sermon series, we'll be able to share with you some techniques and practices that will help your prayer life as well. So we hope you'll join us, and not even you, but invite friends and others that you know that could benefit from that good word. So now receive this benediction. May the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, dwell in your hearts and minds, that you might know the height and width and breadth and length of God's love for you, and you might be assured that nothing, indeed not even death, can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.